Our scripture today is from Luke 19. It's a familiar story for those of us who grew up in Sunday school. It was one of the favorites for most kids. It's from Luke 19, and it is in the New Testament. We don't have a page number today, and I'm not reading from a pew Bible, so I can't help you. The story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So a few of you have met our dog, Augie. Only a couple of you, the Shams, Olivia, I'm not sure who else might, know that Augie has a routine before he eats. He says grace. We put his food in a bowl, but before he is allowed to begin to eat, he has to sit, shake hands with us, we hold his paw, while we offer the prayer, "Thank Jesus, amen." Now, the reason we do this is because Steve became really taken with a story from an evangelist from the last century, H.A. Ironside. One day, the story goes this way, Ironside sat down in a crowded restaurant for dinner. He was about to begin eating when a man asked if he could sit down and share the table with him. Ironside said, "Certainly, you know, please sit down." And then he bowed his head to say grace and to pray. When he finished his prayer, he looked up, and the man sitting across from him asked, "Do you have a headache?" And he said, "No, I don't." And, "Well, then, is there something wrong with your food?" And Ironside says, "No, there's nothing wrong. I was simply giving thanks to God for the food." "Oh, you're one of those." "Well, I want you to know that I never give thanks. I earned what I have by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anyone. When I eat, I just dig right in." To which Ironside replied, "Yes, I have a dog just like you." Which is why our dog says grace, because Steve does not want to have a dog just like that. But of course, our dog Augie doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't have the capacity to remember and to give thanks. He's a dog. The grace he says before meals is just a trick he has learned. But what about you and me? You know, I'm not talking about remembering to say grace particularly, but do we remember to be thankful? When it comes to giving thanks, do you sometimes find yourself acting like Augie, just going through the motions, or only remembering to give thanks when it's forced on you? My guess is that if you're honest, you'd have to admit, yes, I would venture to say that all of us have at least a little dog in us, a little forgetfulness of the power of God in our lives, a little indifference to the gifts of grace, a little sense of entitlement to the good things we enjoy. I know that I do. I doubt that any of us would put it this bluntly, but on some level, don't we believe that we are basically good people? We work hard, we try to do what's right, we have earned respect of others, we deserve our blessings. We have saved, invested, followed the rules, and built our world. Why do we have to give thanks? What is there to give thanks for? Woof. But the act of giving thanks is an important one, because it reminds us that all that we have and all that we are isn't earned or deserved, but comes to us as gift. Life, talents, abilities, love, grace, opportunity, satisfying work, our world, our breath, you name it, and you can find its origin in God. A lesson that's easy to forget. But when it is grasped, it makes all the difference. That's what I think happened in Zacchaeus' life. He was successful, but he wasn't happy. He was wealthy in treasure, but poor in spirit. He had sold out his soul and his people for financial gain. He had followed the rules of Rome, but cheated on the rules of God. Yet when Jesus came to town, he stopped by the tree Zacchaeus had shimmied up. And he called Zacchaeus down and told him he planned to go to his house that day. Imagine. A tax collector, a little squirt of a man whose small stature was matched by the smallness of his spirit, and Jesus picked him to visit and to dine with. Well, the unexpected wonder of it all opened Zacchaeus up to all kinds of wonder. Suddenly, he saw himself and his life and his world in a whole new light. To put it in the terms of our current sermon series, Jesus accepted Zacchaeus just as he was. Be you. Enemy, collaborator, and cheat that he was. Then he met him where he was. Be here. Even if that here was up a tree. And then Jesus offered him a renewed sense of belonging. Even though Zacchaeus' occupation had put him at odds with his own people and with his faith, Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' home. And this inspired in Zacchaeus a deep sense of gratitude that could only be expressed in action. As Frederick Buechner put it, he was taken so completely aback by the honor of the thing that before he had a chance to change his mind, he promised not only to turn over 50% of his belongings to the poor, but to pay back 4-1 all the cash he'd extorted from everybody else. Jesus was absolutely delighted. Today, salvation has come to this house, he said. And since that was his specialty, after all, you have to assume he was right. Salvation didn't come to Zacchaeus because he gave his wealth away. He gave away his wealth because salvation had come. Generosity, service, discipleship begin in God's action toward us. They are our response to the amazing grace and steadfast love of God, which is the point of the Psalm 107, beautifully paraphrased in Psalms today. It reads, "Those who have experienced the redemption of God and know what it means to be reconciled to God ought to dedicate their lives to serving God and their voices to proclaiming to the world God's loving grace. Some of you have known the meaning of emptiness and loneliness. You have drunk from the many wells and sipped honey from many flowers and stumbled into many blind alleys in your search for fulfillment, but your hearts remained empty and unsatisfied. Then you faced up to God and God's claim on you, and you discovered purpose and objective for your lives. Don't keep it to yourselves. Tell the world. Proclaim in word and deed the wonderful works of a loving God. Let others know that God is able to fill their emptiness and satiate their hunger." The only adequate response to God's love and blessing and grace is to give thanks with all that we have and all that we are. For as Kent Millard writes, there is a deep joy in giving generously to God. Life is made in such a way that it is circular. We all receive life as a generous gift from God, and then we give generously back to God to say thanks. Then we receive again, and we give again. When we receive gifts from God and try to hoard them for ourselves alone, we stop the flow of generosity, and we die spiritually and personally. The human heart, he says, is an analogy to this process. Our hearts receive blood from the rest of our body and then pump it out again to all of the other organs. If our hearts only received the blood and tried to hoard it all for itself, we would die. But our hearts receive and give, receive and give, over and over again. And that's how our lives are maintained. In a similar way, we receive all of life as a gift from God, and we need to give back of our time, talent, and treasure to God out of gratitude. Then we receive again, and we are inspired to give again. Receive and give. Fred Craddock went to preach at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York. Before he arrived, he received a letter from Steve Cicciolino. Steve sang in the choir, and he was in New York studying opera. His note asked, "Would you be willing to stay after church and have lunch with some of the young artists and talk about the Christian life?" Craddock sent a note replying he would be glad to. So after church that day, he met with a group of young people in their late teens and 20s, maybe some as old as 30, all of them in New York trying to make it on stage and in the music scene. Some at Juilliard School of Music, some trying to do opera, others forming rock bands. And they went to the kitchen, fixed some soup and salad. He ate with them, and then they moved back into the sanctuary. There were a bunch of them, about 250. They were in New York. All of them, away from home. They weren't even supposed to be in church. They talked about the Christian life and had a wonderful discussion. And Craddock said to them, "I'm really surprised to see you here. You are away from home. You're trying to make it in New York, and this is the city and all of that." During the discussion, a young man stood up, and after asking where he was from, Craddock asked, "So what are you doing in New York?" He said, "I'm trying to form a rock band." Craddock asked, "Well, what does all of this mean to you?" And his answer was, "If you have a gift and forget the giver, all you really have is talent, and talent isn't everything." And then he sat down. Wasn't that something, Craddock thought? If you forget the giver, all you have left is talent, and talent isn't everything. Rossetti once said that the worst moment in the life of an atheist is when he is genuinely thankful but has no one to thank. We could be grateful that we don't have to face that moment. We know who to thank if we can only remember to do it. If we want to grow closer to God, if we want to be more faithful as Christ's disciples, if we want to experience the transformation of the Holy Spirit, we begin by remembering to thank the giver. So today, what do you give thanks for? What has the giver done for you? How have you been sustained, even in a difficult time? For what blessings will you be giving thanks this Thursday? And I don't mean that as a rhetorical question. What are we thankful for this year? Who has something that they're thankful for? Thanks, Pat.
I'm very thankful for my family, and this afternoon I'm going to watch my little great-granddaughter perform in a theater.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. Norma.
I'm thankful that my son and his family moved away from Paradise, California, to go to Idaho 3 years ago. They still had some a car, a truck, and some trailer there with stuff in that they hadn't been able to get. So in a way, it's a blessing because they were paying $150 a month for that rental, for the storage for this stuff for 3 years. And so I'm glad that it's gone.
We're grateful for our granddaughter.
Yeah.
Come back, Lizette.
I'm also grateful for my family and for the realization that even though I'm very young, I know that any time I ever ask for anything or pray, it's always provided. Always. Mm. I've certainly gone through struggles, but I have never wanted for anything. So
yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Lizette. Ruth, did you have something?
I'm very thankful for like-minded folk like us to share our experience, strength, and a hope.
Good. Thanks, Saxon. Yeah, Ellen.
Yes, Gloria and I just got back a little over 2 weeks ago from a trip to Israel, and we saw the tree that allegedly was the same one Zacchaeus climbed. And more than a trip and just a vacation, it was a spiritual experience. I'm thankful we had that chance.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Others? Yeah. Dominic.
I'm very thankful to have both my parents with me still. I had an uncle pass away earlier this year, and it was just out of the blue. So to both of them have their health, very blessed.
Great. Jackie.
Have to remember to be thankful for our health. And it has its ups and downs, but we're thankful to have it.
Yeah, absolutely, for our health.
I have many, many things to be thankful for, and I will spare you that very long list. But one of the things that comes to my mind right now is I am thankful to be a member and a part of a church that, while struggling, has some really interesting prospects for the future and community involvement, and that is really exciting.
That's just actually what I was going to say. I'm just thankful for this community of faith. We might be small, but it feels like family.
We're thankful that we have such a sweet pastor who, when our granddaughter and her boyfriend came from Germany to visit, she was actually, we were doing them a favor, but she offered her house to let our granddaughter and grandson, we hope, to stay there. And I thought that was just such a sweet blessing of her and Steve to offer that. Thank you again.
Thanks. We're thankful for to have a house that we can share. And we feel like to own something like that is something we give thanks by opening it as often as we can. Yeah, good.
We are thankful for being able to visit the States after 15 years.
Wow.
We come from Singapore. And we're also thankful that salvation has also come to the family of ours as well.
Amen. That's wonderful. Welcome. I'm glad you could be with us.
The thing I forgot to add was they oggy-doggied set.
Yeah, they took care of our dog. Was part of the blessing for us, since our dog didn't oggy-doggy was, which is why the Champs know about the grace. But we forgot to tell them about the grace. So we came back from the trip, and Kathy was like, "Your dog's just so well behaved. We put the food down and he just sits there and stares at us and puts, you know, kind of paws at us." And it's like, I'm thinking, oh, the poor dog, he was waiting for them to pray with him.
There are so many things to be thankful for. And so let us take a time of thanksgiving right now. In your bulletin is a litany of thanksgiving. What we'll be doing is kind of saying some words, and then we'll be singing for the beauty of the earth, one verse at a time. So we'll be offering some prayers and then having a response from the hymn, which is hymn number 473. So let's, you know, if you can kind of figure out a way to have your hymnal open to 473, and then to have your order of service also handy. It's a little bit of a juggling act today. I apologize. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. Gracious God, you designed the earth in your wisdom. You have adorned it with beauty. You have watered it with goodness and have caused it to bring forth abundantly. You have surrounded us with your love throughout the length of our days. We thank you for experiences of you in nature, for the variety and beauty of seasons, for days and nights, for periods of work and rest. We thank you for the ebb and flow of life that unites us with the rhythm of the universe. God of all joy, we taste and see that you are good. We thank you for the beauty around us, the touch of love, the grace to hear your word and to live in a world alive with your presence. Awaken us to the signs of your grace that our hearts may sing your praise. Loving God, we thank you for our loved ones, our parents, our children, our spouses, our friends. We hold them in your love, warm their hearts with your joy, and make bright their days. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the church, for the holy places where your word is spoken and your way is taught. Thank you for our faith, which binds us one to another, and for all who have served faithfully, loving others and witnessing to the truth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. We continue now in prayer as together we raise up our prayer concerns, our joys. Obviously, we want to be praying for the continued fire, the battles with fire, and for the recovery, particularly for the latest count of 1,300 missing up north. We are praying that that is an inflated number, that people are safe. They just don't know where they are right now. And also for those who are family and friends of the 79 who have died. We celebrate Winnie Buchanan, who turns 90 this week. She's not in worship today because she broke her arm 2 weeks ago. And she is now in a skilled nursing care, getting some physical therapy and some help for healing. But the flowers are in celebration of her life, and we are thankful for her and for the gift of that she brings to all of us, and glad that Cliff can be here to celebrate her today. We continue to pray for Beverly Edwards as she has settled into her own skilled nursing care and is under hospice care. I also got news yesterday. Peggy Coleman is being elected as an elder today, but she is not in worship today because yesterday they got word that Chris's brother's wife, so Chris's sister-in-law, died suddenly. And so Chris and Peggy are with his brother today. So let's please keep the Colemans in our prayer. And then, of course, all those who are traveling for the holidays and for all of the family gatherings that are both lovely and sometimes a little tense. So any other prayer requests for today? Then let us continue in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for all of the gifts and the blessings we have been given. And we ask that you would be at work and bringing healing and hope into a broken world through us. Lord, we give you thanks for the life of Winnie Buchanan and pray for the healing of her arm. We pray for travel mercies for those who are going to be united with family, and we pray for comfort and for those who are separated from family in this time. Be with those we know who grieve, particularly the Coleman family, and for those who have lost loved ones and homes in the fires that have ravaged our state. And we pray that those who are missing will be found safe and restored to family and friends. Be with the Edwards family and with Beverly. We gather all of these prayers together and offer them to you using the words your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.